Amen. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, die for me?
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good singing this morning, church. You may be seated. Preacher, would you come?
All right, good to see you this morning. Get your Bibles out today.
Tell you where. You can turn to 1 John chapter 4. It's going to be a minute before we get there, but you can get a jump on that. 1 John chapter 4. Thankful for the good singing this morning, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, we got something to sing about. You know, there was a song that we sang. I think it was Meet Me There. I think the beginning of the third verse talks about like angels playing harps, and I'm like, well, you know, is that really Bible? And then so I just looked at it real quick while you're finding 1 John chapter 4. Look at this. I'll read you this verse in Revelation 14 in verse 2. It says, and I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder, and I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harps. There's a lot of harping in. Almost sounds like North Carolina down there. Chapter number 15 and verse 2. And I saw it were as a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over the image and over his mark and over the number of his name stand on the sea of glass having the harps of God. So there you are, harps in heaven. And hopefully you found 1 John chapter number 4 by now. But just thought that was kind of neat. Not just a depiction on a puzzle of angels in heaven playing harps, but that's what the Bible says. You know, God has made us with emotions. Sometimes, may I say, if we're not careful, you got to be careful making emotional decisions. Sometimes my kids will come and say, "Dad, I want to get this or I want to get that," and you know, for them it's a big purchase. They don't have a lot of income, so you know, a good portion of their income would be spent on a thing or something like that. And I say, "Here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like you to think on that tonight. I know there's a earnestness about you to, and you're excited about it and you're passionate, and you use the word need, but I'm not sure if you really are you really ready to call this a need? Maybe it's more of a want. Are you really to part with this much resource to get that?" And trying to take away the emotional decision. If you've ever been on driving down the road and someone has invoked emotions out of you due to their poor travel patterns, aren't you glad you don't always react or respond? We've got to bridle our emotions sometimes. But then why did God give us emotions? Does he not want us? Does he want robots? No, not at all. He has given us a soul and a spirit, and we can think on things, and those things can stir our hearts, and there's nothing wrong with that. Emotions can prompt good decisions at the same time. Now, the decision, we've spoken of these things and in time past, and kind of gone through these thoughts a little bit, and I'd like to add to this thought, but you know, if I'm going to be a joyful person, joy is a choice. I remember when Mrs. Cox was here and she taught our ladies, and they all kind of came away with that thought, I choose joy. We can choose to praise the Lord. It's not. We saw towards the end of 2022, we went through those last five Psalms, and what did we see about praise? Well, praise is my choice. I can choose to praise God or not. It's better and right that I should. Hey, you know what? Love is a choice. Love is a choice. Pure, unconditional love is not natural, may I say. It's divine. And that love starts with God. 1 John chapter number 4, if you would look in verse number 19. 1 John 4, 19 says, "We love him," 1 John 4, 19, "because he first loved us." Had God not demonstrated, exemplified, initiated love toward us, I would have nothing to respond back. Verse 20, "If a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? Just getting real practical there for a minute, huh? Hey, you say you love God, but then you hate your brother. How can that be? You can see that person, and you don't, can't even see God. Calling into question. In verse 21, this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That is going to be our message here this morning. We're going to move past the thought, yes, God initiated the love relationship. That's the source. But in response to that, we ought to love the Lord and we ought to love others. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. God, thank you again for that love that you demonstrated, that you exemplified. It is difficult to read your scriptures without seeing it. God, thank you for being the source of it. God, thank you for coming down and seeking us out and paying for our sins. And God, we were in great need and you were in great love, and thank you for that. Lord, I pray that you would bless this service here, Lord, and Holy Spirit, that you would lead us and guide us and empower your word. Lord, I pray that you just have total reign of this message here now. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you've ever been out to a restaurant or out to the store and you've seen a couple or seen a family or something, and now if you go to a restaurant, it's somewhat sad. You'll see a family all sitting around the dinner table, and there they are. I don't know. When we were a kid, going out for dinner was a big thing. And we would get to go out to eat for maybe our birthday or something like that. And my mom would take us to, when I was a kid, Ponderosa. That was it. And you would eat yourself sick. Anyways, there we were, and we didn't get anything else. We just got the salad bar. That's all we needed. And that was a big thing. We were looking forward to that maybe a month in advance, and that was a special time. And now you go out and you see people eating together, and no one's interacting. They're all on their phones. You see a couple sitting across from one another, and they're not even talking. A nice place, nice dinner, nice all of that, and you see two people. I would assume care for each other to some degree, right? But they're not even interacting. And then there's this other couple over there. You're trying not to look because your stomach, it's too much. And just lost in each other's eyes. And it's just. Is there no balance? So what are we talking about here? We're talking about real love. Real love that was demonstrated to us, was exemplified, was given to us. God says, I love you, therefore I'm going to give you somebody, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you here this morning, number one, our love for God, God has given us every single reason to love him. It's a gift, Romans chapter number 5. Every year I have a little conversation with our young boys here at school. I express to them, hey, we're coming up on Valentine's Day. Do something for your sister. I say, why? Because some goofball is going to show up with a carnation someday and sweep her off her feet. You can't be doing that. If carnations are your favorite, praise the Lord. Good job. All right. Romans chapter number 5. Bible says, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Hey, love was a gift that initiated from God. It was a gift given to us. In 2 Timothy, God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Love is a gift started from God. For God so loved the world that he gave. His love is a demonstration, and what he gave to us is a demonstration of his love toward us, and it's a gift. Again, this week, maybe there'll be an exchange of gifts of some sort. You understand that God loved us. He gave us something. He gave us eternal life. The greatest gift ever given. Is it unreasonable of him to expect love in return? it is not. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 1, look there. We're going to look at a bunch of verses this morning. I'd like to travel through scriptures a bit. As I said, it is there are certain threads, if you will, lines that you'll see from cover to cover of your King James Bible. One of which is sacrifice, we'll see that. Number two, you'll see obedience. But you can't read the scriptures without seeing God's love for mankind. Sometimes it's demonstrated through grace. Sometimes it's demonstrated through mercy. Sometimes it's demonstrated through provision. Sometimes it's even demonstrated through chastisement. But you cannot read the scriptures through a man's point of view and look at it and say, God doesn't love me. There's no way. Said this past week. If it's a joke, it's a bad joke, but it's a joke. And I don't need to tell my spouse I love them. I told them the day we got married and that should be enough. Well, that's not what God does. I can't read the scriptures without walking away thinking, God loves me. Psalm chapter 18 and verse 1. It says this, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. Hey, our love for the Lord is a strength. Maybe you're struggling in your faith here today. Maybe it took every bit of energy, effort, thought, dynamic of the home, whatever it was, to just get here. I get it. I've been there. I understand. But do you understand that the love of God is our strength? I can face tomorrow, as the song says. Yes, because He lives. Because of His love. I love the Lord, and it is my strength. Psalm 116. I'll say love is a powerful emotion. What people do for love or what they do in response of love is a strong demonstration of a feeling, but it ends up turning into actions. Please understand that when I get a hold of God's love for me and reciprocate that love back to Him, the Bible said it is our strength. Hey, why do you do what you do? Because I love God. Psalm 116. I love the Lord because He hath heard my voice and my supplications. Jay mentioned that very thought in our Sunday school class this morning. Hey, if you don't come to Sunday school class, you're missing out on a blessing. Say, oh, it's so early. It's 10 o'clock. If you call into work, you go to work at 7:30. Man, you'll get a blessing by coming. But then I have to stay all the way till what, 12:30? Yes. Well, have a good time. We'll try and even get out a little early today. I say that. Those are my aspirations. But I don't know. We'll see. But a quick commercial for Sunday school. You'll get a blessing. Ladies, you'll get a blessing in that ladies' class. Gentlemen, you get a blessing in being in that Sunday school class, learning about Elijah and just the humanity of Christianity. But here, why do I love the Lord? Because He heard me. Every single time I call out to Him, every cry I have, every need I have, He is aware of it. He says, He hears my voice and, listen now, my supplications. He doesn't just listen for the, hey, tell me the things I want to hear, but He also gets to hear the needs of us. I love the Lord. Because I know that I can bring every care, every need, every burden, every concern, every victory, every misguided direction that I've taken, and come to God and say, God, what next? And He hears me. I love Him for that. I love Him for the strength because He hears us. Look at Proverbs chapter number 8. In verse 17, it says, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Similar to the last point, not only is our love for the Lord our strength, not only do we love the Lord because He hears us, not only should we demonstrate our love back to God, but also He's findable. He's not some distant entity that cares nothing. He didn't just create us and say, all right, you're on your own now. Good luck. No, not at all. He walks with us day by day, side by side. He's with us always. And He says, I love them that love me. And those that seek me early shall find me. Isn't it good to know that when we seek the Lord, He's there? Hey, if you've wandered away from the things of God, please know that you can come back. And He's there waiting for you. It'd been better had you not left. But those that seek Him shall find Him. Hey, if you're looking for the truth, may I encourage you to look in the Scriptures. It is all there. Strength. He hears us. He's findable. Look at Romans chapter 8. Ever worry that it's not all going to work out good in the end? I don't know about all this. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, and we know that all things, work together for good. But that's not the end of the verse. Not all things work together for good. But all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Hey, when we walk in the ways of God, we know that it all works out for good. When we follow God's plan, and that is the overall, if there was a thought, Jacob, if there was a point that we can take away from our demonstration of our love back to God, it is this: I yield my will to yours. That's what it is. It is me giving up my will to do what God says. That's what the love of man to God looks like. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You can't pick your own path and think, hey, this is going to turn out good in the end. No, when you go down God's path and you do His purpose and your love for Him is demonstrated in that by yielding your will to His, He says, it's good. That'll go good. Say, well, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. What do you do with that verse? Hey, it'll turn out good in the end. One day, the harpers will be harping with their harps, and it will be good. One day, all of this will be sorted out. Had the privilege of having 2-foot-long hot dogs and a hoagie roll this week, and we were sitting there just talking about with some senior saints just about at the end. And we were encouraging, and they were encouraging to me, talking about the things of God, knowing at the end of all, He's the only one that can sort this whole mess out. And He will one day. One day our faith will become sight. And it'll be worth every bit. Hey, what great reassurance. As you lay in bed at night thinking, I don't know, can we try? All things work together for good. What great reassurance to them that love God. God wants all of us. He wants every bit of us. Matthew chapter number 22. God and His demonstration in love toward us. Gave us the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said unto him, thou shalt, in verse 37, Matthew 22, 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. And I have a question, does He have your will? Have you given up to God and said, God, the way I can... He doesn't need our stuff. He wants us. Do you see what he said? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. When he gets those three things, he has all your stuff. But he wants your will. He wants you to say, God, steer the ship. Lead me, guide me. He wants all of you. Don't let hold back. God is a jealous God. He wants all your worship. He wants all your affection. He wants it all. And he's worthy of all of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8. Sometimes we make statements and that maybe we're fooling ourselves. Maybe we're misguided in what we think or maybe have a messed up memory. Maybe we think we go to the gym 5 times a week. But just by the looks of things, maybe it's not so much. So why do you got to bring that up? Here we are in February. Those New Year's resolutions are done. We'll be back to the gym next January. I get it. I understand. But sometimes even our love for the Lord is the same way. And this real subtle verse here, it's a short verse, 1 Corinthians 8:3. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Kind of the physical demonstration, right? I go to the gym 5 times a week. You don't have to tell us, we can tell. I love foot-long hot dogs, 2 of them at a time, and a hoagie roll. You don't have to tell us, we know. We can see it. Hey, I love God. You don't have to tell us. We know. Our love for God ought to be known. But if any man love God, the same is known of him. Do you love the Lord? Say, of course I love the Lord. Look where I am Sunday morning. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's right. But let's talk about the rest of the week. He doesn't just want Sunday and Wednesday night. He wants Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. He wants all of you. He wants your whole will. Hey, this is a great demonstration of your love for the Lord. Sure, coming to the Lord's house. But what about the rest of the week? What about the rest of our lives? Is it known? Hey, I love the Lord. You don't have to tell us. We know. It's demonstrated in all that we do. Is it known? Had the privilege of running errands with my son Hudson yesterday. Went and stopped in and saw Brother Bear for a couple minutes and made sure we had eyes on the prize, right? Just making sure he's doing good. Sue comes home today. Stopped over, saw him, and we had some other errands to run, and I'm with Hudson, and there we are, and we stop into Runnings, and he comes over. I was looking at something, and he was looking at something, and we met up in the aisle, and he's got a handful of stuff. I said, well, what do you got? And he said, Dad, look at this. And he's got flower seeds. So, all right, let's see what you got. He's got these and these. I said, son, you do understand. I know it's sunny. I know, but we're still, this is like February. He's like, yeah, Dad. So he grew sunflowers last year, and they grew tall, and they were pretty. And I said, okay, you can get rid of those, but let's do the sunflowers. And he said, okay. So then, now we're plotting and scheming of when do we get them into seed, because he wants to start them going, because he wants more them taller and things. So by the end of the month, we're going to start seeding. He's got packets of, I don't know, he's accrued seeds over the winter. And he has packets, and we're going to get a little container, and he's going to start at the end of the month, it's got to be 4 to 6 weeks before the last frost, which in Rochester, you have no idea. Remember the 2020 Mother's Day snowstorm in May. Anyways, so you never know. You never know. But we're going to go, and those sunflowers take anywhere from 7 to 14 days, and they take some time to grow. You know, our love for the Lord is kind of the same way. It takes some time to grow. Maybe you go with me to Philippians chapter number 1. The love of man to God, number one, it's a gift. Number two, it is our strength. It is demonstrated because He hears us, because He is findable. He gives us reassurance in of it. He wants all of us. He wants us to yield our will to Him. May it be known. Next, in Philippians chapter number 1 and verse 9, in this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgment. Maybe when you first came to the Lord, man, you were excited about the things of God, but didn't even really know who God was. And as you go, there's a love for the Lord that ought to grow. And ought to go back to 1 John chapter number 2 and verse 15. In 1 John 2:15, it says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." Hey, this is where the Lord found us over here. And then He saved us and set us on a course over here. Hey, the love and care for the old life ought to be dwindling. Our love for God ought to be growing. Why? The more we know about the Lord and the more time we spend with the Lord, our love ought to grow. And our desire for the past. Hey, listen, I understand there's bumps in the road, and even we see Peter, I go a-fishing, right? And he returned back to the old life a little bit. I understand there's still a natural tendency to, but there ought to be a cutoff, a separation for at least the desires. He says, love not the world. Desire for the past, love, ought to dwindle as we grow and our love for the Lord. Maybe just a page over in 1 John chapter number 5 and verse 1. 1 John 5:1, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. And this we know, that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments." Verse 3, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." There's a direct connection for our love for the Lord and the Word of God. And it says it's not grievous. A young couple, newly in love, and one writes a letter or a card to the other. It ought to be the other receiver. I can't wait to read that. I can't wait to hear what they have to say to me as they express their affection and love for me. It would be strange if that young couple in love, having feelings for one another, one demonstrates love through word and the other says, "I could care less," and tosses it aside. Is it not the same? "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. For His commandments are not grievous." Can we love God and despise His word? No. There's a direct connection between our love for the Lord and the Word of God, and it is our guide for life. Hey, understand this. As we love the Lord, why do you do what you do? Because I love God. And that is a guide for our life. Love of man to God. But even deeper than our love just to God, how about this? Go to John chapter number 21. John 21. And verse 15. How you doing for temperature in here? Before it was a little cool. I turned it up 1 degree. Now it's like 1,000 degrees. All right. The difference between 70 and 71 is significant. John 21:15, So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Peter, or Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. What is the these? Hey, what's the these in your life? For Peter, it was fish. But what is it in yours? What is the these? If he asked you the question, if he called out your name and said, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? I feel like the Lord is knocking on Simon's heart here. And as we read it, I feel like he would be doing the same to us. Hey, lovest thou me? Jesus is speaking to you today. Peter was grieved because he said said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? He said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. The question prompted an action. Hey, do you love me? Of course I love thee. Demonstrate it, he says. Show me. I feel like the Lord is doing maybe somewhat similar to us today. Hey, do you love me? Of course we love you. Okay, let's go to John chapter 14. The love of Christ. John 14, 15. If ye love me, what does it say? Keep my commandments. John 14, 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Look at verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words. I don't think you have to be a doctorate of the Word of God to make this conclusion. There's a connection between our love for God, our love for Christ, and obedience to the Word of God. Can we agree? So how's your obedience to the Word? Do you have to search Sunday morning to find it? Oh, I know where it is. It's right in the car where I left it last Sunday or Wednesday. Or is there a connection between the Word of God and our love for God? Oh, there is, most certainly. If the Word of God is an afterthought, I'm telling you, your love for the Lord is struggling. It's not growing how it could be. He asked, if you love me, he said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. It's really difficult to know and follow the commandments of God without reading them. Sam is in college and he had to write a paper on the Second Amendment, right? Some people were making some comments having never read the Second Amendment. Their only understanding of the Second Amendment is what CNN has told them. And you know that by their responses. Hey, it's no different for the Christian. Hey, where are you coming up with these crazy thoughts? And why are you doubting? Why are you struggling so much? Have you not spent time with the Savior? Have you not spent time with Christ? Why do you think that way? It's because you haven't read His commandments. Love and obedience to Christ. First, we saw our love for God will be demonstrated in our submission to His will. Secondly, our love to Christ will be demonstrated in our love for the Word. In John chapter number 7, Nope, Luke chapter 7, sorry. Verse 44, Luke 7:44. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thy house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with tears, wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Did Peter not like or love, or did Simon here not love Christ? What's the difference? Why did one just pour out everything they had before Christ and the other did not? Verse 47 tells us why. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. She got a hold of the forgiveness of God, and that just transferred into a love for Christ. I got saved when I was 10. Put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as best as I possibly could at 10 years of age. Made sense. I didn't have to get reassurance later on. I knew exactly what I was doing at age 10. I can go back to the place, the time, if the house is still standing, and I can show you where I knelt. I knew what was going on inside of my heart. And I'm thankful that hid me from a multitude of decisions later on in my life. I'm glad I got saved at 10 and not 20 or 30 or 40. Maybe you got saved later in life and you're just wowed by the mercy and the love and the forgiveness of God. You just can't give Him enough. That's kind of what we see here. For she loved much. To whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. That's one of the, not dangers, but the precautions of second-generation Christians. Young people that have grown up in a home that just love God. Yes, they've been sheltered from some things, but they don't necessarily know all the things that they've been sheltered from. Don't quite appreciate all of the forgiveness. Now it's the better testimony, please understand. I don't think you should go live wild in the world so you get a hold of the forgiveness of God. Hey, get a hold of the forgiveness of God by studying the Scriptures and let God tell you about who you were and what He has done. But here we have a woman who had been forgiven much, and that has transferred into much love for the Savior. That's how it should be. Because of His love for us, we live for Him. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. Hey, it's a privilege to be called a Christian. It ought to be. Man, if I could be identified as anything, people all week, who you got this? Who you picking Sunday? Are you Chiefs or Eagles or you're a Chiefs fan? Oh, you're an Eagles fan? How about this? Who are you serving? Who do you love? The Lord Jesus Christ. I live for Him. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that He died for all. They which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. Because of our love for Christ, it's not grievous to serve and live for the Lord. How are we supposed to do that? In Ephesians chapter number 6, it tells us with sincerity. Hey, we don't love and serve God because we get something from Him. We love Him for who He is. For who He is. I want to remind you in Revelation chapter number 2 and verse 4. A sad saying. In Revelation chapter number 2, speaking of the church of Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Christ was the one that taught us what love is all about. God was the one that demonstrated, initiated the relationship. And I'm asking you this morning, having gotten in on the love of God, have you left that at all? Have you yielded your will to the Lord? Is there a love for the Word as we love the Lord? As we read in 1 John chapter number 4, and we're almost done, in verse 21, it says, "This commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God," that was our first point, "love his brother also." Yes, the first and foremost, our love for the Lord, our love for the Lord Jesus Christ, but how about our love for the brother? You know, in Matthew chapter 7, we all have the same desires. Say, what is that? To be loved, right? Everybody wants that. No one would, in honesty, would say, you know what? I'd like to be hated all my life. I don't want to experience any sort of care, love, concern. I don't want any of that. I want to be... No one says that. No one believes that. No one feels that. Bible says in Matthew 7 and verse 12, "Therefore all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, even do ye..." Let me try that again. "Do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets." Hey, you have a desire to be loved? Yes, then be loving. Be loving. In the same book, Matthew chapter number 19, in verse 19. Can I ask the same question, very similar to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 3? Hey, I love God. All right, you don't have to tell me, it's known. Hey, I love others. You don't have to tell me, it's known. Known by how you respond and how you act. Matthew chapter 19, verse 19, "Honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Do you do that? Do you do that? Lastly, loving others is humbling. In John chapter 13, John 13 and verse 12, "So after he had washed their feet," that's Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. "So after they had washed their feet and had taken his garments and was set down again, he said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, so, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. Verse 15, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you." That's humbling. That's humbling for both the washer and the washee. I don't think we necessarily need to bring a water basin out and regularly bathe each other's feet. But I think the same approach and attitude ought to be toward that. It's just a love for the brethren. It's humbling. And as we love the Lord, I never have to question God's love for me, demonstrated, exemplified from cover to cover. It's easy to see. Where the breakdown happens is in the reciprocal love back to God. And then, see, it's easy to love, it's easier to love God because he's perfect. But then the hard part is loving others. See, why is that hard? Because we're human and we have a flesh and we have a pride. We're in the bush of Africa in August. And we drove down this dirt road, and it seemed like they knew where we were, but I had no idea where we were. It didn't look like we were on any sort of highway or anything like that. Kids were strapped to the top of the vehicles. It was crazy. Food up there, we're bringing live chickens in the vehicles. It was just crazy. They go to the church, no people aren't where they're supposed to be, which is not abnormal for Africa. So we go to the pastor's house, and the plan is to make dinner for the pastor there and their church people. We brought dinner. We brought nshima, we brought cabbage, and Blake, you were there, you were our chef, and you cooked the chicken, remember that? Some of the ladies here killed the chickens. Gross. They eat every bit of the chicken. If you saw the pastor's house, their living room literally was from that corner, I mean this big, which had a couch and like two chairs in, like no power, no water, no anything. Just stone walls. The windows are just holes in the block. Him and his wife live there, and so we have dinner, and we're finishing up dinner. Seth, I think you were teaching at that place, preaching there. Brother Barnhouse pulls me off to the side. He says, "I'd like you to help me with something." I said, "Sure. What do you need?" You know. Always hesitant when he says that, but if you know Brother Barnhouse, I said, "What do you need?" He says, "I'd like to wash Pastor Jonathan's feet here." I said, "Brother, do you do that a lot?" He said, "I've never done that before." I said, "Okay." I said, "What do you need from me?" He goes, "I want you to wash his feet with me." Okay. So there we sat, end of service, starting to get dark. There's no lights, there's no power. Starting to get dark. We bring out the water basin. We have this African pastor. And we start. I'm on his left foot, Brother Barnhouse is on the right. He's got dress shoes on, but they're not, the laces are probably three times as long as they should be. So they lace up, but then they go around his ankle like three times. So I untie those, take off his shoes. From a distance, the shoes look decent, but then when you get up close, you just see that they're falling apart. I take off his shoe. Brother Barnhouse is having the same struggles, not just me. He's right next to me. Take off his shoe, take off his sock. His sock, not much to it at all. The hole in the bottom was just as big as the hole to put your leg through. And there we wash his feet. Can I say, very humbling to both me and to Pastor Jonathan. What was demonstrated there? A love for a person. It was a very unique experience. When I went to go put his sock back on, I couldn't even get his sock back on because I didn't know how. I'm a pretty intelligent person, but I couldn't figure out how the sock worked because there were more holes than, I don't know. And he was so gracious. He said, "Just leave it, just leave it." Barnhouse was having the same struggle. That man was greatly moved. I was greatly moved in my heart. It was very humbling. And that's what a love for others looks like. It's humbling. See, why would you do that? Would you have come up? I was trying to be a support to Brother Barnhouse, but man, I got a hold of this passage here. Got to see it. Do you understand that when you express genuine and sincere love to somebody, the Word of God becomes real in a way that maybe it wouldn't otherwise? Do you understand when you demonstrate a love to God and just in obedience and faith to Him, it becomes real in a way that it wouldn't otherwise? So I want to encourage you here today. Again, I think you're the greatest church in the world, but Lord knows your heart. Maybe some seeds of love have been planted But now we need to do the things that help that grow and abound more and more. If we love God, the same is known of Him. Let's all stand. Do you love the Lord this morning? Do you love others this morning? This isn't like sappy. This is based on righteousness, God's righteousness. This is based on a submission of our will and a love for the Word. In a moment, the music's going to play, and I invite you to come forward at an old-fashioned altar. And maybe just express your love to the Lord. God, break my heart for the people that are around me. Help me to demonstrate a love for them like you did for me. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bless this time of invitation now. God, thank you for your perfect demonstration of love. God, may we carry that on. Lord, bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?